Father, we bow down before you this morning and just praise your name and want to remember the great gift that you've given us, the power of prayer, the great gift we have in the name, the mighty, almighty name of Jesus Christ, to come against any of the forces that would be against you. And Father, give us a desire to pray earnestly today, and this is one of the last two opportunities to pray before the election, and we thank you of a lot of things shaping up, and yet we see the desperate condition of this country without you, and so, Lord, our hearts grieve for that. But, Father, first this morning we want to just thank you for the glorious riches that you have given us, and as we look at this prayer, another petition in it that is just beyond our ability to really comprehend it, it seems. It does tell us about how much you love us. It does tell us how rich we are. And Lord, we want to just begin by singing a couple of verses of Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Number 21. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his Spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story,
this is my song,
praising my Savior all the day long. Thank you. Let's go on into the prayer this morning. If you turn to Ephesians 1, again, we are taking our time going through this Paul of Prayer, and Paul of Prayer, Prayer of Paul, I should say. And today we have the second part of the last part of verse 18. Last week we had that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and then there's a comma, and then that you may know what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Now, if there's somebody here this morning who can adequately explain that, I'm open for volunteers. I looked at, I think there's more than just heaven, though, here. I did look at about a dozen commentaries, and I love the honesty of a few. A couple of them said, this is too high, I cannot even comment on it, it's beyond me. And that's probably a good statement. Now, I think that pretty much all of the requests of Paul here in this prayer for us, and of course I say Paul, but it's certainly that the Holy Spirit is not Paul. He didn't come up with all of this, but the Spirit writing through him. And these are all things that we don't know. So to say, can we explain what he's praying for here? The answer is really no, because it's beyond our explanation, but that doesn't mean we shouldn't pray for it, right? Now, we started out with this prayer, remember, that it was based on the fact that these people had faith in Christ and they loved one another. That is really kind of a definition of a Christian, is it not? And we see here today one of the aspects of this phrase, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? The saints are who we're talking about here. This prayer would not fit an unbeliever, it doesn't seem to me. And do you know what the Greek word for saints is? Maybe you'll learn something today you didn't know. Hagios. The same thing we say when we say, holy, holy, holy. So hagios is set apart, or it's sanctified. So we're talking about what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the holy ones, or in the sanctified ones, or in the set apart ones. And we know a saint is not something that you have in the Catholic Church that you all have to vote on whether a person made it or not. A saint is a believer, right? A saint is one set apart, is a holy one, in other words. Not holy in our own righteousness, oh no. But set apart in his eyes because we believed in what he's done for us on the cross, right? It all goes back to the cross. If we really haven't come to the cross, I don't think we're really believers. We can go through the motions and we can say the right words and we can do all of these other things, but until we really have an understanding of what he did for us on the cross, I don't think we're there yet, because that is the heart of it all. And so we cannot even be called saints unless we've come to the cross. But on the other hand, if we have come to the cross, then that's what we are. We're out of chairs, sorry. You have to come back next week. Could you get some more down there for them, please?
Isn't that wonderful?
Okay, and get one more in case somebody else comes in late. And then if somebody comes in later than that, we'll have them sit in the middle. Thank you. Try not to get too far back in the corner there, because can't even see you. Thank you. Okay. So we are in Ephesians 1:18 again this week. This is the third week we've been in the same verse, so, but I don't think there's any rush. We're not trying to see how many books of the Bible we can get through. And this is the last part of Ephesians 18, that we may know what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And we were just talking about, this is lofty things here that most people, most commentators can't even write about and explain it. So I can't explain it to you. But I do believe that we have all in these prayers, it has to be given to us by the Spirit. And how does he give it to us? I think he gives it to us through his word. So I think these times in prayer are important to begin in his word each time. And we can come and pray without the word of God, but I don't think we're really kind of getting the right aspect of prayer unless we're really praying in and through the word of God. And so when you pray, I encourage you in your prayer times to have a Bible with you and go in and out of the scripture, because this is God speaking to us. Generally speaking, he doesn't audibly, you know, it's not like if I would talk to one of you, I would say something and you would listen, and then you would say something and I would listen. That is prayer, but God generally, I think, doesn't speak to us audibly. I think he speaks to us through his word. So if we pray to him without relying on his word, I don't think that's really very good communication, and or at least not the best communication. So we see here then, Paul continuing to pray for these believers. They have faith in Christ and they love one another. And then he starts to ask that they would really bring into bloom, it seems to me, these promises that we have. Well, here is a promise that we have. What does it really mean? Riches of the glory as of his inheritance in the saints. And so first I tried to look at these words just to try to understand them. And in the middle of the page, we have them there. Riches, plutos, means a plentiful supply of something, a wealth, an abundance. And I think riches we can kind of understand. We look at different kinds of riches. We look at Bill Gates and those guys today here. And can you imagine? You know, when I was a little kid, I once in a while would think of, I'd look up in the clouds and I'd see these big clouds up there. And I was thinking, you know, maybe somebody up there has got a big sack of gold. They're just going to drop down, you know. But if you got a sack of gold, and you got all the gold in the world, how long would it last? It only lasts while you're on the earth, right? And so it's nothing. It's limited in size, extent, and it's limited in time. But his riches are unlimited in size and unlimited in time. And so it's just a whole nother aspect of riches. But abundance. And then glory. I already mentioned glory. I mentioned hagios of the saints. But glory here is another well-known word, doxa. That's where we get the doxology, right? That's glory. And how can you even identify glory? It's hard to identify, but you can say it's a condition of being bright or shining. It's brightness, it's splendor, it's radiance, it's the wealth of His glory is what we're talking about here. So if you can get your arms around that, you're well on your way. I can't even understand that part of it. But we can say His glorious wealth, how rich and glorious and abundance and infinitude of wealth, not limited by extent or time, infinite and inexhaustible. So we are not talking about some little thing here. We're talking about something that's so big we can't even get our arms around it, right? But that's His prayer, that we would know what are these riches of His glory. What are the riches of His glory, or the glory of His inheritance of the saints? And so then as we look at inheritance, I think you know what that is. That's possession or heirship or property. And then in the saints, the hagios, pertaining to holy or being set apart or dedicated to those services. So again, what do we have here? We really have this, that you may know the glorious wealth, this abundance of wealth, infinite in nature, not limited by extent or time, that He gives to those who are His. It kind of comes back again to the eyes not seen or ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for us. But I think that aspect of prayer to me, or in Corinthians there, to me more is talking about the heavenly inheritance. And I think we have, I like what Spurgeon says here. We've got on the back, if you ever want to look at any of this, this is the best I could do with summarizing some of these commentaries. And I like what Spurgeon said here. He says, there is a glory in this inheritance, riches of glory, rendering the Christian more excellent and more truly honorable than all about him, and it is desirable to know this experimentally, to be acquainted with the principles, pleasures, and powers of the spiritual and divine life. So we have a heavenly inheritance, and I think we have an earthly inheritance he's really praying for here, and that is what? That we might know the mighty power of his divine grace, the beginning and carrying on the work of faith in our souls. And again, these are lofty terms. They're not things that it's easy to understand. He says it's difficult to bring a soul to fully believe in Christ and to venture in its all and the hope of eternal life upon us, upon his righteousness. So we're giving glimpses of this to live really the spirit-filled life and have all of the advantages of that spirit-filled life. And that's what he's praying for here, that we may know these riches, because the natural man wouldn't know any of that. And when we try to get our hands around it, we can kind of see little bits of it, and then we can think of the heavenly inheritance, right? Because the heavenly inheritance is kind of, first of all, we're not limited in these bodies. The heavenly inheritance is one where we are not in sinful bodies anymore, because we'll have glorified bodies. But here, even in this life, where we are still subject to sin, we have this great victory in what he has given us here on earth, because, in effect, we already have Christ in us, the hope of glory, right? And when we say hope, that doesn't mean, well, I don't know if glory is going to come or not. No, it means we have that promise of glory, of his glory, and forever. We already have it here on earth, in a sense, but we have to pray to grasp it, if that makes any sense to you. So that is his prayer here in Acts 20, when he was addressing this great farewell to the elders in Miletus, the Ephesus church there. In verse 32, he said, "So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace." Now notice this. What is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among those who are set apart, who those are holy, who those are saints? It's his grace. I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among those who are sanctified. So here we see the grace is the unmerited favor, but even that word we can't really understand totally, is it? Because it's so much love to us and giving us so much, that, and we deserve none of it, that we just can't fathom it. But what? You're saved by grace through faith, right? Isn't that what we're told in Ephesians 2:8? And so here we have this Christian's inheritance that he's talking about to the elders here, to give them an inheritance among those who are set apart or sanctified. Again, that same word, hagios, there. And then in verse 26:18, or chapter 26, verse 18, this is where he's relating his conversion on the road to Damascus to King Agrippa. And he's telling King Agrippa that God not only saved him, but called him to go to the Gentiles to do what? Well, one of the things he says here is to open their eyes, the Gentiles' eyes, in order to turn them from darkness to light. And, of course, we just had that prayer last week, didn't we? The eyes of your understanding be enlightened, right? Remember that? And now here, he's saying to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God. Why? That they may receive forgiveness of sins, amen, and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. So we start to put some of those things together a little bit, and we get a little bit better understanding of what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, it seems to me. So if we just simplify that, we need to ask the Spirit to reveal these things to us, and as we're in the Word, he will reveal those things to us, and that we want to pray for one another, for the believers, for one another, that we would experience, we would know, in other words, because know, this word know here, is it's got an experimental aspect to it. It's also got the oedis, just the, you just know it because you know it, and also it's because it's in the Word of God, so it's true. So you know it whether you experience it or not, but he's praying here that we would know, we would experience this here in this life, the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints or in the believers or in the holy ones, which we are all believers, so that fits us. So we can pray for that. So I hope that makes a little bit of sense. I know it helped me to spend some time on this one phrase because I've memorized this prayer and I can go through it like that. But, I mean, you go, what are the riches of his inheritance? And I mean, it's just words. I mean, I don't even know what that means, you know. And so trying to break it down a little bit, it was helpful to me. I hope it's helpful to you. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for what you tell us through your word. And we recognize that we are not adequate to understand much of anything. Certainly not adequate to understand anything apart from being revealed by your Spirit. But you have given your Spirit to dwell in us and abide in us, and to reveal all truth to us. And so, Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness, and we thank you for revealing yourself to us through your word. And, Lord, we want to pray. You've given us that gift of prayer. We don't want to limit our prayers to things that we can really understand necessarily. We want to pray beyond that in a way that you are able to do all things. Is there anything too hard for you? And, of course, the answer is no. But our prayers, we want them to be in accordance with your will, in accordance with your will. And we want our hearts to be aligned with your will. We want to be vessels that can be used, that are flowing in the right direction and not in the wrong direction. And so lead us and guide us this morning in this time of prayer. And, Lord, just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.